In the reading from Colossians 3, 12 to 13, and Mark 11, 23 to 25. I'll be starting with Colossians 3, 12 to 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Mark 11, 23 to 25. For verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Ask me. Very good. Morning. It's still morning. The last time I preached, I spoke of Joseph, and I said there'd be a part two. This is part two. Now, we all know or are familiar with the story of Joseph and his brothers. The sermon title is Trouble Won't Last Always. Trouble won't last always. Let's pray. Father, speak to me. Speak through me. Let it be your words and not mine. Humble me. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, 12 to 13 spoke of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive them, as the Lord has forgiven you. You also must forgive. You must forgive. Does that include my boss who has given the promotion to a new employee? Someone who I've had to teach to do the job, having months teaching them and training them, they now get promotion over me. Not only are they promoted over me, I can definitely do the job better standing on my head. Surely I don't need to forgive them. And worse still, not only have I got to teach them and train them, they're rude, telling me I'm nothing. But yet still, I have to train them. So their financial package is better than mine. Why couldn't I get the job? Surely, what about the boy who keeps calling me horrible names at school or college and tells lies on me on social media? Surely I don't have to forgive them. Do I? How about the silly person who cut me up when I was driving? They cut in front of me. They knew there was no space for them to go. I was in that space and they come straight in and cut me up. Do I have to forgive them? How about the person who was driving their vehicle while I was walking to school and I saw this massive river, it was actually a puddle really, but you get the point, and they wet me up from head to toe. They knew I was walking there. Surely there should be a law against that. I think there is. And they wet me up and they were laughing while doing so. Has that ever happened to you? Yes. How a story I told, my father told me about this young boy. He got this job clearing a field, and they gave him a wheelbarrow to clear the rubbish. And that wheelbarrow was noisy. It was so noisy, it was bothering his ears every time he used it. After the first day, he went to the foreman, the person in charge, and complained that they gave him a noisy wheelbarrow to use. The foreman said, "Explain the sound this wheelbarrow makes." The young boy said, "It goes squeak, squeak, squeak." The foreman said, "Interesting." And fired him on the spot. He sacked him on the spot. The young man said, "What have I done wrong?" The foreman said, "The wheelbarrow is supposed to go squeak, 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 squeak." I used to work in Bristol in a garage, and I remember the first day I worked as a mechanic, and my whole job was to sit in the car and move the steering wheel up side to side. It was an MOT testing station. I turned the lights on, turned the lights off, winching and wiper back and forward. Menial job, you say, but I loved it because I just left school. I was sitting in Porsches, Ferraris. I didn't care what the job was. I enjoyed it. But I didn't stay there. I've driven probably every car going, except the Bugatti. It's probably, there's not many of them made, you see. But then I've driven Rolls Royce. Yeah. This particular day, now it's about forgiveness. This particular day, now I wasn't skilled yet. I wasn't skilled. So there wasn't much I could do. Back in the day, they used to call you a grease monkey. That was the term they called you. And your job was to make the tea and sweep the floor. Make the tea and sweep the floor. Now, I've been there about a week. I said to the boss, "This is boring. I'm sweeping the floor, I'm making the tea." And the boss says, "Well, you don't have to do the job, you know." But I thought better sense and stuck it in. And I remember the first big job I had to do was to do an oil change. Now, a car has engine oil in it. And my job was to put the car on the ramp and then use a tool. Let's call it a tool. It's a ratchet. Use a tool and undo the plug called sump bung, under the plug that keeps the oil in, and drain it out. Now, doing this job, it's a simple job. I didn't mind. I got the tool to do the job, and whoever did the job before, let's say they mangled the bolt inside. Now, when you, so basically the ratchet wouldn't fit properly. I'm annoyed now, because if you knew the part was faulty, why didn't you fix it? No, they put it back in the same way. Anyway, it took me half an hour to get the thing out. And says I, I'll get even. I put the same bolt back in. Well, someone did it to me, I'll do it to them. We're talking about forgiveness now. Now, you got to understand, I didn't have much to do other than sweep the floor, make the tea. What I didn't realize, making the tea was quite important, because I would take the tea to the mechanic. Now it's too hot, so he can't drink it straight away. So while he's drinking his tea, sipping it, he said, oh, do this for me, do that for me, do it for me. And without even knowing, I was learning something. Anyway, go back to the bowl. I put it in, let it ramp down, pour oil, like it's not hard to pour oil in a engine compartment and put thing on. Now, like I said, nothing to do, sweep the floor, make the tea. So of course I said to the boss, anything I can do? He said, well, not really. I said, can I wash the car? Something, yeah, go on. So I washed the car. I swept the car out. Well, nothing else to do. Didn't mind. I'm busy. Then the owner came back for the car. I went, wow, that's lovely. Who cleaned my car? Oh, the little boy, the young boy. Not little boy, young boy. So she said, fine, thank you. Some of you may have heard this before. Anyway, I was given some money. For doing the job. Oh, I was so chuffed. A year later, the car arrives back. I'm no longer the sweep the floor boy, make the tea boy. I'm the one who's in charge of a department, MOT department. So, as the car comes on the forecourt, my heart drops. Because I said to myself, surely they won't remember me. She's looking around. Ah, there he is. That's the one I want to do my car. He did such a wonderful job before. Well, let's say an hour later, I got that bung out. That taught me a lesson. I called a lady, said, this is quite badly mangled up. Can we change it? Oh, please do, she says. So I changed it. The part probably cost all back then about £5, £10, the worst. What would have taken me to put the new part in and stop complaining? I learned my lesson. There are unkind people, of which I was one, all over the world. And when we think about the world we're living in, we know that it's not a perfect world. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, suffering won't last forever. Yet the Bible says trouble would come, but trouble will not last. Here's Joseph. Joseph loved his troubled family, his brother, stepbrothers, stepsister, his mother and stepmothers. Trouble started for Joseph when Jacob showed he loved Joseph more than the rest of his siblings, because he was a child in his old age. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now, by giving Joseph that beautiful coat of many colors, which was normally set aside for the firstborn, someone who would inherit everything, this caused contention with the family. You see, Reuben was the firstborn, the firstborn of his first wife, Leah, who Jacob didn't love. He was tricked in marrying her. But Reuben messed up by taking what didn't belong to him in Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid. Then there was Simeon and Levi, surely they're next in line. But both of them took revenge on Shechem, who raped their sister, also the men of the city, found in Genesis 34. Genesis 37 says Judah was, next one in line, was instrumental in saving Joseph's life by suggesting he was sold as a slave, better than his other brother who was going to kill him. Dan came up with the idea to deceive Jacob by telling him that Joseph was killed by wild animals. Now get this, even those other brothers, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, all hated Joseph because of the tales he told. Yet, and for the amphora coat that he was given, and for his dreams, but yet still they took part in the deception of their father. Now see, Joseph was child number 11. Joseph was child number 11, the 11th brother, the first son of his mother Rachel, who Jacob loved more than any of his mother's children. You know the story very well, story of envy and jealousy, but God loved Joseph and God was with Joseph. And even though we know the story very well, have you ever wondered, because some people say, well, what's that story got to do with me? We would never kill our brother or sister, hurt them anyway, but yet still we hurt them in the words that we say. But how about this? Have you ever had a new member who wants to join your church? They're far from perfect, but yet so that they show the love of God so much that even in their troubled state, they have so much zeal, and all we can do is point the finger. Did you know that this person did this? Did you see what they did? Did you hear what they did? Tut, 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 tut. And if they hear a rousing sermon and the person shouts hallelujah, praise the Lord, we say, shh, like we're in a library. But yet still, we don't know the life they're coming from and what God has taken and done for them. Doors are closed to us in our life, and doors are open. Yet still, how we treat others will affect how we go through. We may feel guilty and we may feel guilt and jealousy that the person is now striving and doing good things for the Lord, and yet still we're sat in the same place, same stagnant place, doing the same old thing. To get us to church in the morning is a chore. But yet still, Joseph had been through a lot of trouble. Trouble after trouble after trouble, but yet so God was with Joseph. Joseph goes from favorite son to slave to house manager to prisoner to ruler, second only to Pharaoh, just because of a dream. Now we go to Genesis chapter 41. Egypt now has enjoyed 7 years of plenty because of Joseph's leadership, always showing that God is working in his life, and he gives God the praise for everything. Now the 7 years of plenty has ended, as in Genesis 41, verse 53. The 7 years of plenty now ends, and trust in God is further tested. Joseph has grown up now. This is 20 years has gone by. Since he left his family. Egypt now has been through 2 years of famine. Famine now hits Canaan, and so his 10 brothers now make their way to Egypt. All have been living with this deception by now for over 20 years, what they've done to their father about the life of Joseph. By now, they've changed, but Joseph doesn't know this yet. I don't know if Joseph ever thought he would ever see his brothers again. But perhaps he must have done. He must have longed for his family, longed to see them, and perhaps or just hoped. But because of the dream, he must have thought, well, the dream must come true. It always has done. After all, God has kept him safe all these times, all through the dreams that he's had. And now, perhaps now, he'll see his brother. Because he knows the famine has gone through the whole land and further field. Joseph would have to forgive his brothers now so he can move on. Not for their sake, but for his sake. We too must forgive no matter how it hurts. It's not easy when someone hurts you so deep. Have you noticed that family hurts you deeper than any stranger can? If someone does something bad to you, you can just say, oh, well, who are they? But if your sister, brother, cousin, niece, nephew, mum, dad does something, it's hard to say, I forgive you, when they don't say sorry. Let alone when they do say sorry. Then it all has happened. Joseph now sees his brother. He recognizes them, even after 22 years. Was it their accent, or was it the fact that he longed to see them so much that he recognized them? Where is Benjamin? He must have thought. Have these evil men harmed his brother because they hated him so? Is his father still alive? Mark 11:25 tells us again, forgive, forgive, forgive. Well, we know the story of his brothers, and when they spent 3 days in prison. Perhaps that's the time they spent in prison while they were contemplating what they've done. Perhaps that's when they realized that perhaps God is punishing them for what they did to their brother. The brothers have changed and are sorry for what they have done, and are prepared even to die for their brother Benjamin, even if it meant their lives. Joseph now knows his brothers have changed and reveals his identity. You do know that even though his brothers were sorry for what they did, they still had to go back to their father and confess what they did. How hard must it have been to go when Joseph says, go and tell daddy that I'm here. The embarrassment, the shame, because now all this time, their dad did not know that Joseph was alive. He believed them. He had no need to fear that they would have lied to him. So now you have to go back and untell the lie that all the brothers took part in. Now, this is a story here in the Bible. And the one good thing about all these stories in the Bible, they teach us how to live. Sometimes with the stories, we say it has no relevance of us. But if we look carefully at the stories in the Bible and see where does it fit in our lives, where can we learn? I'm sure we can learn something. Though Jacob is angry for the lies, the stolen years away from his favorite son, they beg Jacob for forgiveness, and eventually he does. Jacob is now reunited with his whole family. See, so no matter the trouble, forgive, forgive, forgive. No matter the trouble, forgive, forgive, forgive. The story we know very well. I know it happened years ago. But a lot of us, we all have a part to play in how people grow, how our young people grow, how the children grow. Perhaps the problem started with their parents want to be number one in Jacob's life. And you know, if you're a single parent, you will probably not show the other party in a good light. Perhaps if you want friends at school to be your best friend, you'll tell the person in not such a good light that I must be your best friend. It may be a simple thing what we do, but our children always learn from us. So once again, the thing I want to leave with us is as our scripture read this morning, if you have something against your brother, don't leave it there. You must forgive them, even if they're not interested in having your forgiveness. You must forgiveness, even if they don't say sorry. But until you can, how can God forgive you? So once again, I leave you with a message. Forgive, forgive, forgive.